are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, March 26th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. It is Tuesday. That means we continue our series with Pastor Cleveland Inius III, who is the Kahun at the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. Cleveland Inius III, Reverend, has a doctorate, a PhD in critical theology. Critical theology meaning that his dissertation and his degree is about comparing and contrasting different religions, particularly Christian religion. The Coptic Church has a religion called Christian. I hope I pronounced that right.
Christianity,
right? And I've been struggling to pronounce that word for a while, for the entire series from last year to now.
It's just the original way of saying Christ, Ka-rest or Ka-ras, this head spirit,
Christ, Ka-rest means head spirit.
Head spirit, Ka-rest.
Christ means savior.
No, Christ means anointed.
Okay,
Yahshua means Savior.
We'll get to that soon.
Yes.
Try to take over my show. We continue that introspection of this, an interrogation of this religion. Introspection means self-inspection, right? But it's Holy Week. It is Holy Week, and I want to show some reverence because this particular week is very important to the Christian religion. And I'm not sure what the Jewish Muslims them do during this time, because I know Passover is supposed to be sometime around this time. I'm not sure which particular date. So, but I want to know, what does the Coptic Church, the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, what do they do around this Holy Week? Because you know you're like forgive me for this, an alternative Christian group, right? You're exactly like us. You're a little different-ish, right? I want to know, what is it that you do during this week?
Well, again, good morning. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Inius III, also known as Kahun Ankusara. I am, as Brother Nuri said, the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah here in the Bahamas, and I am a part of the Holy Coptic Church International. We are under the auspices of the Holy Coptic Church International, led by our Coptic Pope, or our Basesh, our head scribe, Haruhotep Tar, also known as Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma. It's always a pleasure to be here with you. We of course, want to extend our best wishes to those who are observing Holy Week, because in the Holy Coptic Church, we respect the right of all people to celebrate or observe in whichever way they see fit. And so we definitely want to wish a happy Holy Week to those who are celebrating Holy Week. This year's particularly, I would call it interesting, because it actually aligns with the rite of Passover, or the observation of Passover within the Holy Coptic Church, called Fisak Shemo. Or what the Jews or even some Christians would call Pashak or Fishak, is actually found in the book of Acts chapter 12, verse 4. They actually translate it as Easter, but when you look up that word Easter, you will see the word Pishak or Fishak. That's important because we in the Holy Coptic Church, going back to the rites of Asaru, this original sacrificial shepherd, that is actually mentioned, as I talked before, several shows ago in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, as well as Revelation 13 and 8. It talks about this lamb who had been slain from the foundation of the earth, this Asaru. This week, March 22nd to the 28th, it never moves for us. It is always March 22nd to March 28th. We observe what some people refer to as Passover. We call it Pesach Shemo, or this reality of understanding the actual realities behind the passion of Asaru, or who the Greeks would call Osiris. So this particular week, we as true Christians do not eat any leavened bread. We eat, you know, only unleavened bread. We have a feast, a solemn feast that we begin this week with. Each night, there's a white candle that we light, and there are prayers that we say each night. But the reality of what we're doing is to ultimately understand why it is that we as a people, for example, don't eat leavened bread during this week. We as a people have been attacked or invaded in many different generations. And in each of these generations where we've been attacked or enslaved, or we had to actually leave the lands where we were that we were indigenous to, we had to prepare meals knowing that we didn't have time to allow that bread to rise. The bread was made unleavened. And so it happened with Harriet Tubman. It happened even during the times of what you refer to as when they talk about the Hyksos. The Hyksos, a group of Greco-Romans that came into Africa and ultimately invaded those lands and then turned around and wrote a narrative about them being enslaved by these Africans, when there is no records of us enslaving any so-called Jews in what they're calling Egypt today. So this week, we observe several things, one being what is referred to as the loss of Asaru, because this Asaru, he was killed by a group of people that understood that if he was allowed to ultimately live out his ambitions, if you want, or his desire or his goal of bringing world peace, that they ultimately would not be able to function in the way that they wanted to function in. And so this group referred to as the Sith group. So for those who may have some understanding of what is being called Egyptology today, they talk about this war between Asaru and Set, Osiris and Set. They say the brother Set killed Osiris and cut his body up into 14 pieces, which correlates with your Cain and Abel story in Genesis, or your Jacob and Esau story. There are many stories of these brothers who are fighting for whatever reason. And it ultimately comes out of this reality of not Asaru, the African Messiah, or this African, this first crucified Savior, fighting his brother, but he was fighting a group of people from the land of Hind. They refer to it as the land of, or what they call the Hindus today. And this reality of him being killed was not merely the reality of a person being killed, but in the book of Matthew chapter 26 verse 31, it says the shepherd would be struck and the sheep would scatter. So these 14 pieces didn't just correlate with actual body parts, but with actual 14 tribes, the body of Christ, the body of the Christ. So when we gather on Sundays, we understand that us gathering, it represents the body of the Kares coming together in this day and time whereby the caress consciousness is not only or merely a person, but an actual consciousness that moves through the bloodline of that particular Messiah, which is why in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 11, Messiah says he came unto his own, and he says his own received him not, but to those who did receive him, he gave them the power to be sons and daughters of the Most High. So there's a consciousness, a caress consciousness, that moves through this bloodline. So this week represents those of us who are of the three groups of 12 royal tribes, taking the time to understand how this original sacrificial Savior literally gave of his life. Just quickly, I would give you the story that has passed down through the years. It talks about this reality of him going to a banquet to actually speak to the very people who ended up killing him. He was trying to convert them. He would convert tribes of people by speaking with them, by sharing with them, by showing them the realities of what had transpired through the various records. He held the record of what I hear people talking about, the Emerald Stone, the Sapphire Stone. These were actual records that actually taught us how to live, how to eat, how to morally carry ourselves. He would take this information to those who were on the planet and teach it. At this particular banquet, they asked him for the measurement of his body, or he had been asked that question of like, if somebody said, I want to make you a garment, Cecil Nuri, I need your measurements. And you say, yeah, man, I'm this tall, I'm this wide, my arm is this, my leg is that. Then you give them the measurement, and then later on down, they decide to present you with a sarcophagus, as they refer to it, or what we call a neb-unk, or a coffin. And they say, we designed, because we understood that when a person transitioned, that their burial was very important. They understood this idea of having a proper burial so that a person could transition properly. Long story short, he realized that this particular sarcophagus or neb-unk that was made specifically was for him. He knew, when I get in this, they're going to close this up and they're going to kill me. If I don't cooperate with them, they're going to go and kill my wife, my family, and those who are unaware of what's going on right now. So long story short, he goes along with the plan. He dies. Further along down the line, when they realize that, they still do this to this day, with people like Steve Biko, and some of the African leaders who've been killed, where we don't have an actual grave for them. They don't allow us to have a grave because they know wherever you have a grave, people will be able to gather and you'll be able to actually pay homage to the memory of this particular person. Nat Turner, they did it too. They actually took his body and melted it down in acid, and they sold that oil amongst the people to use, right? But they cut this body up and they separated because they didn't want to have people actually remembering who this Messiah was. Fast forward, his wife, Aset, who we would call Mary in traditional Christianity today, she and her sisterhood, they have to bring these people back together. They have to let the people know that before he died, I was impregnated. That's in some stories. In other stories, they talk about actual immaculate conception. They said he put the body back together and she was able to conceive because one of the pieces of the body, they say, is the phallus. Yes? And they were able to retrieve that and she was able to be impregnated by it. Of course, this is all allegory with regard to what today they would call in vitro fertilization, or the fact that she was pregnant before he died, right? She has a son called Haru, and this Haru, who represents Seth in traditional Christianity, because they say Cain killed Abel, and then who ultimately replaces Abel is one called Seth. This word Seth means to replenish, which is why the word Barasheth or Baraseth speaks of this replenishment. So in him being replenished by his son Haru, this Haru, he becomes the Tammuz, he becomes the Jesus, he becomes the Yahshua of different cultures, all right? He becomes the person who has been assigned to human beings, the person who has been assigned to what the Bible would refer to as Enoshites, or these forgetful beings, people who forgot about who they actually are and where they actually came from, et cetera, et cetera. And so this week, we pay homage to this Asaru, understanding that he would have died, but we also understand that his wife and her sisterhood were responsible for bringing back the body of Asaru, the 14 tribes of Asaru, back together, whereby they had what's called an Aset Fasha, or this Aset festival, right? Which today they would refer to as a Easter Sunday, all right? You wear your best clothes. You have hot cross buns, which ultimately comes from what we call Aset Knots. So we actually have Aset Knots for sale this week if you want to purchase Aset Knots.
Is that unleavened?
It is unleavened, yes.
No, I want mine for you.
Yeah. You'll wait till next week then, or next year. But in any event, so we do it whenever Easter doesn't align with our Passover. We have what's called New Resurrection Sunday whenever Easter lands on the calendar. And so sometimes we have it leavened on those times, right? But I still like to say that for the Holy Coptic Church, it is the remembrance of a bloodline that has sacrificed in each generation to assist us. Those that we can relate to would be your Marcus Garveys. So Marcus Garvey, he would have passed. He died of a broken heart. He saw an actual picture of himself in the obituary, and he hadn't died yet, and that took him over the edge. But his wife, Amy Jacques Garvey, who would have been the asset of that generation, she took all of his or many of his speeches, his lectures, etc., and put them together. And today we have the opinions and philosophy of Marcus Garvey. All right? Dr. Martin Luther King, he passed before his wife. And so Coretta Scott King, she would have had to advance the issues that he would have been fighting for while he was still alive, only to find out that they now are saying that the government was responsible for his death. Malcolm X died before his wife. So this story keeps...
Mandela
passed before
he died
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother story, but it's still this template of a sacrificial shepherd, or one who was actually fighting on behalf of his people, leaving behind a wife who has to now carry the story on.
And I thank you for that. That's a complex story.
Yeah, it is.
It don't sound too Christian-like. Yeah. I just let you know.
Well, it doesn't sound Greco-Christian-like.
It sounds very Christian-like.
Yeah, it sounds like hell hot. Yeah. That's what it sounds like, hell hot. But I have a caller here, and I want to interrogate you about Yeshua, Asheru, and the Palm Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. Is there any parallel to the Roman Greco Christianity of Jesus walking in to Jerusalem? Does the your religion, your version of Christianity, has that narrative in it? But let me get these callers in, sure, and then sure. We go follow that. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Namaste.
Namaste. How are you?
Brother Uncle, I want you to help me with this alphabet, please. Starting on this two leg with the pointing up. What is that on a sideways with the V with the point with the two legs which join together pointing towards you?
I'm trying to see exactly what it is you're describing. You say it's a letter Z, and it's on its side?
Right.
Is it a dingo?
And yeah, I'm just trying to understand what he's asking. So it's on its side, and you're saying it has hands that are up or?
No, it's just a V. Okay, it's just a V. V is down.
V is in victory.
Two legs pointing up.
V is in victory or Z is in zebra?
V in as in victory.
Oh, it's a
but,
V.
But what it is, if you turn the pointing, the two legs would join together to the side. Your side or person's side.
Like the
what would that be?
Like the greater than sign or the less than sign? That's what you mean?
Any side.
So, and forgive me, I'm trying to understand. So you take a V and you put a V on its side, is what you're saying, right?
Right.
So in math, they would call that a greater than or a less than sign, depending on how you were looking at it.
I'm not hearing you with some. Let me turn this radio off.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What you were saying now?
So what I'm saying is this sign of a V on its side, in math, they would call it a greater than or a less than sign.
It's a V with the two legs pointing towards you, but not the two legs. The two legs which join the V.
Okay, I honestly, Grandma, I'd have to see it because I can't picture what it is you're trying to describe
okay.
to me. Yeah, so I apologize.
Yeah, well, I was wondering what it was, you see?
Yeah, I'd have to see it because I don't want to tell you the wrong thing and I don't
thank
know.
Thank you very much.
I got you. Okay,
yeah, sorry
I got
about
it.
That.
Yeah. Let's go to the next caller there, producer. Go ahead. This is Cecil from God. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, good evening. How you all doing?
Well, good evening. Good morning, brother.
Oh, sorry, morning. Mm-hmm. My bad. But I want to point out something to the brother who is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
When you give him the information, I want you to examine and listen closely to the response of the people inside studio and the callers. And something which you could come upon is that they are going to be so fixated in their position of what they know, and that is because it is based on a sophisticated, well-researched application of this present system. So I'll show you, for example, everything which you list, it's not private or locked in some vault. It's public knowledge. It's facts, it's history that has been tested, recorded by astute researchers of all races, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as you give it, what you're going to see is that there's going to be a most venomous fight against the fact. And then it'll bring you to the understanding that the system is actually working. It's doing exactly what it wants to do. So when you interject that information that is anti the system, you could bring facts, you could bring the document, you could go and tell them the oldest writings of Christianity, for example, in Ethiopia. Like, you could bring that. You could say all of that, and I'm telling you, you are going to be met with rejection based on this programming, based on the educational system, based on how the merits of what these people consider to be successful, and they are going to fight you down. Listen, before you actually get to the people who are actually, like, at the top making these policies, these people who are at the gate with the keys, they are going to, this is an endless fight telling it to this level of people because they are so immersed. This happened from preschool. This happened from primary school, high school. And you got to remember, all of those institutions, they were created and designed by someone who actually created the present economical, philosophical, and all across the line institutions that we actually subscribe to. See, the problem, the thing, when you given the information, one thing I don't want you to do is don't defend the truth, because it is the truth. You understand? And what we have to do now is accept those people understanding and then seek to create institutions of the truth and not try to change the present institution. Because I'm telling you,
you're
going to go through this whole show and they are going to act like you are telling them something magical.
Thank you so much, Carla.
I love magic.
Yeah.
You know me, I like magic. I always trying to get the Lord to teach me magic.
Right.
The Lord didn't teach me no magic at all. They say they ain't know no magic.
Let me just say this to the caller, though. We have established that institution of truth, or that institution that is propagating truth. It is the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. And we need persons such as yourself who are also seemingly interested in that truth to join us. To come and ask questions amongst us, to actually assist with the resurrection of this truth, because we understand that the system that is holding many of our people captive, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, they won't change, and we're not here for them. We're here for those who need it and want to embrace it in this way. We're grateful that we have a platform to share. And and I love having these discussions with people, because ultimately, whether you become a part of the Holy Coptic Church or not, I can learn something from those who call in, and I pray that those who are listening can learn something from the Holy Coptic Church. That's ultimately what we're doing. We're sharing information to help make this country a better place.
This week is the most holy week for us Christians.
Mm-hmm.
This week is more important than the Messiah being born, because this week the Messiah is journeying into Jerusalem to be crucified, to die for our sins so that we can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Without him being crucified and resurrecting, there can be no salvation for us. We doomed.
Right.
Right? I've asked you before whether the Coptic Church has some sort of salvation. You said that you mentioned atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want to know if the Coptic Church has the Messiah dying and being resurrected. Because if the Messiah in the Coptic Church does not die and resurrect, I know if I could join, man, because I need to get to heaven, and it's already hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to say, hey, how you can get me to heaven if you don't get no resurrection?
Well, that's precisely what we just explained to you just now.
No, that's a methodically Egyptian story.
No. I call the name of one Marcus Garvey. I call the name of one Dr. Martin Luther King. I call the name of Malcolm X. I call the name of Kwame Nkrumah. I call the name of people who we can actually research and actually learn about. The problem is we don't see their stories as holy stories. We don't see their stories as our salvation. And so far as you have people who have been fighting for our salvation, the problem with our salvation in the African theology that many people have a problem with is you actually have to work. You actually have to put your sweat, your tears, your effort behind what you're saying. It's not as simple as just saying a prayer. And at the end of the day, salvation is going to drop in your lap. That's not how any group of people have received any form of salvation on this planet. And that, in fact, is not even how Scripture advises us to expect to receive salvation. So the story of Asaru has played out generation after generation, and it continues to play out in the lives of those who are putting forth their efforts to assist us with controlling our destiny in the religious arena, the economic arena, the labor arena, the sex, gender arena, education, law, war, security, entertainment, and politics. 9 levels of human activity or people activity. So this salvation ultimately talks about us being in control of the narrative that best suits our people. We continue to follow the narrative of the slave master, and the slave master and the slave could never have the same God. I'm not here to take away anybody's Holy Week. People who are observing Holy Week, I wish you the best. We also are observing Holy Week this week. It just happens to align this year with March 22nd to March 28th. But we've been doing this for 26,000 years. It just happens that in this dispensation, because every 25,000 years, our records have to be renewed. For those people who need confirmation on the 25,000-year date, just do the research of the great year. We as a people in our society, we studied cycles of 25,000-year cycles. That's how long we've been on this planet. The problem is we don't accept the salvation that has been presented to us because it looks like us. And we've been so thoroughly immersed in self-hate and this inferiority complex that somebody who looks like us could not possibly have the answers to our own salvation. And this is exactly what the Messiah would have gone through during his time. The very things that the caller who called in previously talked about, some of the things that's been mentioned on previous shows, etc., whereby people are questioning whether this is real. They said the Messiah must have been full of the devil. You understand? They said he was possessed by the devil. They threw rocks after him. He said, is it not written in your law? I said, yeah, God. It's John 10:34. He was referencing the book of Psalm 82, verse 6. They didn't pick up the Bible and go and look and see what he was saying. They threw rocks after him. They threw stones after him. So we represent that same revolutionary spirit that is bringing forth a message of truth that you can verify, that you can go and you can actually look at. But we know everybody's not going to do that. So we expect for people to feel the way that they're feeling if you're going to embrace the actual doctrine of those who have enslaved you. So this idea of a Palm Sunday that you asked about, it is seen in the book of Revelation chapter. Yes, we know John 12 talks about Jesus, you know, riding in and they throwing palms down. The prophecy, however, is seen in the book of Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. All right? Before this particular, because I don't have time to read the first 8 verses of Revelation 7, but it talks about the 144,000 of the 12 tribes, 12,000 of each tribe. This is a specific group of people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then it goes on to say, after this, I behold, this is verse 9 of Revelation 7, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, when you do the investigation linguistically of what is being said here, it's still talking about tribes. It's still talking about people who have a tribal identity, and they are holding these palms. Now, the word palm in the Greek is the word phoenix. So you're talking about magic and mythical, but your Bible goes right back to phoenix, which talks about this mythical bird who burns up and then
resurrects,
comes from the ashes of its own ashes. Yes, this phoenix bird, however, goes back to, in the African theology, that what is called the Bennu bird. This Bennu bird, or Bennu bird, or this son of Nu, this actual physical manifestation of what is called in scripture a Melchizedek, a righteous ruler, a king of, they say the king of Shalom, the king of the city of peace, yes, comes in every 25,000 years, and thereafter that there's a priesthood that is established. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 5, this is where they talk about the Messiah being initiated into this order of Melchizedek. And then in Hebrews chapter 7, it says that Melchizedek is the priest of the Most High. So the Most High also has an order. Yahshua, whom many call Jesus Christ today, was after the order of Melchizedek. So Melchizedek was greater than him because he had to come up under Melchizedek. Hmm. You understand? So in Revelation 7 and 9, this word for palm or phoenix goes back in the African theology to the word Bennu, or goes back to this Melchizedek, or one who was responsible for bringing forth the messages that would renew the scriptures of a people. When you look at it from the Greco-Roman perspective, the word phoenix is an actual city in the Isle of Crete, which was a cradle for Orthodox Christianity, which was brought forth by one known today in scripture as Paul, who in history we can find as Josephus, or this Arius Piso, Calpurnius Arius Piso. So depending on your ability to see scripture with either African eyes or with Greco-Roman eyes, it takes you in two different directions.
I have some another call up.
Sure.
I want to ask about your Christianity and various versions of Christianity and going to heaven and this order again. But
sure.
Let's see if I have enough time. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, I'm just going on.
Good morning. I could barely hear you.
You're kind of low. But go ahead.
Give me a minute.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yes, better.
All right. Sorry about that.
Oh,
yeah,
much better.
Great show. Great topic. I was listening. I don't normally listen much, but I was listening. Good time. I really like what that caller was saying. You know, he was so spot on. You know, I wanted to get into meat and potatoes, but you started to talk about it when you talk about the Phoenix Rising, about the Easter solstice. I know I didn't hear the show earlier. I just came on, and I just put on the radio about 15 minutes ago. So I know you talk about the Easter solstice, but I guess what you talking to pertains to it.
Right. Yeah, this week represents what's called the vernal equinox.
Thanks, Paula.
Before I hang up, I wanted you to also let speak about, because when you talk about the cycles or whatever, do you mean sun cycles or moon cycles? And could you tell us the difference between those?
Sure. So,
okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for the question. So the reason why in the Holy Coptic Church, our Holy Week doesn't change is because it's based on the sun and this reality of what's called a vernal equinox or spring equinox, which is a form of resurrection. It actually, within the solar biological calendar, it's a new year. And so far, our actual official new year is June 21st, which is the longest day of the year, or the period where the sun is right over what they call the Tropic of Cancer. Right now, it'll be over what's called the equator. But in any event, this movement of the sun, you would have had a symbolic death around December 21st, which is the shortest day of the year, yes? Which they talk about as the winter solstice. And from December 21st, moving up to the 24th or the 25th, the sun appears to not, and I'm just want to make sure I'm clear. As the sun is rising, the days become longer after December 24th and 25th, which is symbolic of the Son of God overcoming or now resurrecting from the grave. You understand? And so you have that period of a symbolic death, and then you have a symbolic resurrection in the vernal equinox, whereby now life on the planet that was once dead, winter, begins to renew itself on into this summer solstice of June 21st. So that is why we have our Holy Week affixed to March 22nd to the 28th, and it actually brings in the month of Asaru. All right. Now, the second question he asked about with regard to the cycles, when you look at how the earth moves around the sun, it doesn't move in a circle. It actually moves in an elongated fashion. So there are two parts of the year where the sun is close, where the earth is closer to the sun. And there are two parts on the orbit of the earth around the sun where it is farthest away from the sun. Those two areas that are nearest to the sun would be your sun cycles. And this happens in the galaxy and in the universe, yes? So you have a cycle that we call the four seasons on this planet, but then you also have within the galaxy, you have galactical cycles, and you also have universal cycles. And so the sun cycle is when you have more ether prominences or more influence from the sun. In those periods is when certain information, such as now, we're moved into a sun cycle, which is why this information is now more readily available, not just from the Holy Coptic Church, but you have other people who are talking about these things, which is why people are now becoming more knowledgeable to it. But what the Holy Coptic Church is saying is, do you know the sequence of it? See, the original books of the Bible helps those who want to embrace their true faith with putting this, all the information into its proper sequence. We must have a guide. This is why we have a Bar Sesh, Haro Hotep Tar, Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma, who assist us with putting this information in its sequential order. You understand? And so these cycles are perpetual, and depending on if it's solar, or I should say the solar system, the galaxy, or the universe, it would determine how long each cycle is.
I see we have another caller here. Mm-hmm. Let me patch that caller through. Producer? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Dual.
Good morning.
I'm wondering if Raymond was referencing the celestial equator versus the ecliptic and the obliquity of the ecliptic, because that gives you a V symbol, and that's where we get this peace sign from. But, you know, the 23.5-degree tilt on the Earth axis gives you this V sign. Mm. But I don't know if he was talking about that, because that goes somewhere else.
Yeah,
but
I'm not sure.
I would like for you to reference what's just been recently released by the Orthodox Church in Russia, showing that the Israelites were actually black people. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see it. It's been sent to me. And as I responded to a good friend of mine who sent it to me, I said, just what the world needed. Finally, a white man is saying that Jesus is black. Now you will listen. Because when I said it.
Yeah, I've been saying it for a couple
Aaron
of
Aaron said it. I said it. Yeah. Other people have said it. So now maybe Cecil will hear us.
We all know Jesus is white. I'm not sure where you're coming from. We know Jesus is white.
No, I agree. Jesus is white because Jay was created by white people. Be cool with that, Nuri. Yeah.
Help Nuri out for me, please.
Yeah, well, Nuri, see, if it's white, then it's right. So now we could point Nuri to...
See, the thing about it is, in Nuri frame of things, you got a bunch of boys who don't know who the daddy is.
Oh, my Lord.
Because the daddy was a priest. Nuri, you need help, right?
No problem, man. I appreciate you, right?
Yeah.
But that's what I want to talk about, is the variations of Christianity. You have a Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Jehovah's Witness has Jesus as a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
The Muslim have Jesus as a prophet, right? The
Christians have Jesus as a prophet.
He is a prophet, but he was not like any other prophet insofar as when those three wise men who were seeking this child, when they went to look for him, they knew that based on what they had seen within the Dendera, or the actual constellations, they knew that this particular child was one who doesn't manifest every generation, doesn't manifest every year. You understand? He was like the Asaru. What was special about the Asaru is that he was a polymath. All right, he specializes in specialties.
Like
Imhotep was one.
Like the Renaissance.
So if you ever met a person,
Avatar.
No,
he was the Avatar.
So no, that is one of the names. That's the Hindu reference to it. Yes, Ilamocha just said an Avatar, right? But let's use Imhotep as an example because people can research Imhotep. Imhotep was a physician, but he was also an architect. He was also a priest. He did all of these things at the highest level possible. He was a polymath. You understand? They're not born every year or every generation. It takes 25,000 years for a Melchizedek to be born on the planet. You understand? And so this child, they understood, was of that lineage, and he had that propensity or that potency. You understand?
I have another caller here what I want to engage in.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity says, those who have my Jesus as a prophet ain't getting into heaven. You got to say he's the Savior. If he ain't the Savior, the only Son of God, you can't go to heaven talk about he's a prophet. Those Jewish people who ain't embraced my Savior yet, I just saying, ain't me. I just saying my Christian book. But let me go to the caller and you can respond to that next.
Sure.
Producer, patch that caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Anku, really appreciate you, all the knowledge and all that stuff.
Thanks for listening.
But I just have a question, right? I was born and I was raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I'm faced with those challenges that, you know, you have to be Christian, turn the other cheek and stuff like that, it just makes me think, what if we remove the Bible, what if we remove these sacred texts, are we able to form a natural thought of what human existence is, like, where do we come from? Why are we here? Is this all real? Because our epigenetic bringing, our epigenetic past has instilled doubt in every melanated person walking on this earth. So there is a time that we all question everything that has been taught to us, because it comes from, you know, the root, the fruit, the poisonous fruit, as the lawyers say.
Mm.
So could you address your thought? I'm sure you have the thought of, is this all just something that we're just carrying on and on and on? And is there just something completely different that brings us here to this existence? Why are we here? Is this real?
It's a great question.
Just before you go on, I thought that was a very politically correct way to say that they literally beat it into us and terrorized it into us. But a very, very nice way to say it.
The caller makes a very good point. Let me get back to Cecil's point. So I don't want to forget that either. We understood that there is what is referred to as the nature of nature. So our true religious identity is ultimately based on what we learned from nature. Nature is our first teacher. Those scriptures from the various churches that we follow, when we do the research on those scriptures and on those churches, they come out of the African teachings. Okay, this is not denied by those churches if we just do the research. But in these African teachings, we learn about the fact that we studied nature, and our rituals, our rites, our religions, if for those who need that word, we ultimately formed these rituals out of what was happening in nature. This is why our Holy Week aligns with the vernal equinox. So there's a reality behind what is happening in the heavens and what takes place on the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As above, so below. As below, so above. As within, so without. As without, so within. So this is the reality of where it all comes from. So if you did remove those books, nature would have to take over.
The Charestian interpretation of sin draws us back to the same point that you shared. I want to say good morning to the Harold Road Jehovah Witness congregation for the invitation to their memorial of Jesus this Sunday. The opening sermon was fantastic and spoke to some of the things that you spoke about last week and week before. But I think the reconciliation of what sin is, right, is a part of that being a part of nature, and our religion is actually our cultural practice.
Yeah, I mean, if you go against the laws of nature, you live like the man sin, referenced in Genesis 4:7. It was actually a person. Cecil, you mentioned, or you asked the question about, I'm just trying to make sure I...
Who are getting into heaven, because the only said, Christian variations.
Right, this idea of a prophet, remember we talked about this several weeks ago in the book of 1 Samuel 9:9. It says, before they were called prophets, they were called seers. And this word seer comes from the root word osir, osaru, osir. It goes back to this original sacrificial shepherd, osaru. So we are of the line of the seers, or the watchers, or those who have the ability to understand what is going on in the heavens and thereby understand what is going to take place on the earth, thereby being called prophets.
There's a text here that says, they think the text of things that Brayman was talking about, the Freemason symbol, but he goes on to say, what's the difference if Jesus is black or white? What will that change? But it changes everything.
Yeah, it's the truth. The difference is one is truth and one is not truth.
And then Christianity is a black religion. And that was usurped it and taken
African,
into...
African. Black is a European word.
And that is the salvation we seek. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Next week, we shall be talking about the Lodge. Okay. We can talk about the Lodge, because the Lodge is a good thing, right?
Sure. Sure.
I've been camping.
Yes.
We'll be talking about the Lodge. I sleep inside the
Christianity in the Lodge.
I like the Lodge.
Christianity in the Lodge. So tune in next week, Tuesday, after the holiday. We'll be talking about the Lodge. Beautiful. All those Lodge friends of mine, listen to our uncle. We can get him. Anyway, this is Guardian Road AM.
I wasn't even here as a woman. I
just making sure
here.
You don't have to question. Guardian Radio AM, Sister CAD. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. Thank you very much, Uncle Sora.
Thank you,
Sarah. Third Reverend. Have a wonderful day.